Blog Talk Radio.
Able to do the show, but we are back and back in the saddle to talk some fantasy baseball with you here tonight. It is Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. My name is David Kerr at AskRoto Baseball on Twitter and also the editor at fantasysquads.com. I haven't been completely active on Twitter as of late because of some things going on, some family things going on. I had to travel out of state for a funeral and, you know, things like that. But hopefully, barring any unforeseen circumstances, I'm back and good to go as we head towards summer. But here on the AskRoto Baseball Livecast, it's good to be back on the show. And we're going to talk some baseball here. Coming up in just a bit, Wayne Bretzky from BretzkyBall.com is going to join me to talk fantasy baseball. He is currently stuck in traffic. I just talked to him a few minutes ago. So we'll bring him on the show in just a bit as soon as he's available. Also, let's go ahead and give out the phone number. If you're listening live, 347-855-8714. We always encourage callers, new callers, whatever you got for us. I'm here to talk some fantasy baseball tonight. Check out the DFS premium packages we have at fantasysquads.com. $2 gets you a one-day lineup. We run the lineups Friday through Sunday and then also on Tuesdays. $2 gets you a one day, $5 gets you a weekend pass, and $10 gets you 8 lineups, 2 weekends and both Tuesdays. So be sure to check that out. It's at fantasysquads.com on the main page. Pay through PayPal. Very simple. We have a winning record this year. If you use the lineups every day we offer them, you're going to win money. It's that simple. We have a proven track record. So, yeah, check that out at fantasysquads.com. Now, let's talk some baseball here. Give out the phone number one more time, 347-855-8714 if you want to call in. Got some Twitter questions we're going to answer here in a bit, and we'll roll through it. All right. Okay, Bryce Harper. We're going to talk about some big-time performances as of late over the past week. Just going to maybe talk a little bit about some of these players, too. Before getting ejected today, he's been just going off, to say the least. Last week, I believe it was last Wednesday, he had a three-homer game. He followed that with a two-homer game. Both games, he had 5 RBIs. He had a walk-off shot, I believe it was Friday. And this guy's, he's just been white hot. I mean, he's basically been white hot all season long. He owns a 3.08 average with 12 home runs, 31 RBIs, and a 4.44 on base percentage, which is awesome. I mean, this is top 5, top 3 player in fantasy baseball. If you knew he was going to come anywhere close to these numbers in the preseason, he would have been a top five pick. Now, what's more likely is you got him in the second or third round, and he's paying big time dividends, you know. So, Bryce Harper, you know, here's the deal. It all comes down to health with this guy, you know. If he can stay healthy, he is going to post big numbers. If he doesn't stay healthy, we could see situation arise in the past, like the past couple of seasons, where he's been okay, he's been off, he's been on, but he'd never really put everything together. See, this is the guy that we heard about as a 16-year-old coming out of Las Vegas. And he's finally coming into his own. He's walking at a crazy clip. He's drawn 29 walks this season, 38 strikeouts. The only knock on his game, and this is hardly a knock, is that he isn't stealing a lot of bags. He only has one steal, but who really cares? I mean, what's the difference? He doesn't have any steals, but everything else is basically perfect. So, you know, we're happy about it, and definitely. Expect him to keep it up as long as he can stay healthy, and that's always what it comes down to with a guy like Harper. So when Wayne Gretzky gets on, we're going to talk to him a little bit about Bryce Harper. We'll talk about all these guys with them once he gets on the line, but want to run through it here while we're waiting on him. Michael Pineda struck out 16 Orioles on Sunday, excuse me. I tweeted out on Sunday that I was probably one of the only people that plays DFS that rostered Pineda and didn't cash in cash games on Sunday. He put up, I think, 46 points roughly on DraftKings, which is just phenomenal for a pitcher. I mean, obviously. Yeah, and I didn't cash. My bats were that bad on Sunday that I didn't cash. Go figure. But Pineda, let's talk about Michael Pineda. I love Michael Pineda, and this is the guy that the Yankees traded for back whenever they gave up Jesus Montero. Well, I think it was clear that the Yankees won this trade even with Pineda being injured, even as he was injured for seemed several seasons. He didn't pitch in the majors in 2012 or 2013. But, you know, he made 13 starts last year before getting hurt, and he was really good. 189 ERA, a 271 FIP, and a whip of 0.83. Now, the strikeouts weren't up last year, just a 7K per 9. But this year, my gosh, he's 5-0. With a 272 ERA, that FIP is 1.93. Everything's legitimate about what Pineda's doing. And the K per 9, 10.5. But it gets even better than that. Michael Pineda has 54 strikeouts to 3 walks. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about this guy. Swinging strikes on Sunday. I don't have the exact amount here. But he must have had, out of his 16 strikeouts, I want to say he had roughly 10 swinging strikeouts, which is, it's just crazy, those kind of numbers. Looking at it now, he had 12 swinging strikeouts on Sunday against the Orioles. Orioles are a decent team, too. But that's how on he was. Just his line. He gave up 6 hits, no walks, 16 strikeouts. Crazy, crazy numbers. It's video game numbers right there that we saw from Michael Pineda. Can he keep it up? Of course. Should you sell high? Absolutely not. He's an injury risk. I'll say that. There's no question he is. But at the same time, his talent level is so high that you kind of just have to to ride it out. You know, I mean, if somebody's going to offer you Paul Goldschmidt for him, sure, you're going to take that. But, you know, somebody's probably going to try to offer you a mid-range hitter or something, and Pineda's pitching like an ace. So I don't think it's necessary to move him, because I don't know that you'll get fair value given his injury history and the like. And also on Sunday, Danny Salazar lost in the shuffle somewhat. Had a nice game against, let's see, who did he pitch against Sunday? I want to say Kansas City, and it wasn't Kansas City. It was Minnesota. 11 strikeouts in 7 innings. Salazar's looked good since he's come up. He made his first start against Minnesota on April 18th. He's made 4 starts since then, so 5 starts on the season, 3 of which had double-digit strikeouts, and 1 that had 9 strikeouts. So what we're seeing from Danny Salazar is tons of strikeouts. Now, he does have a problem with home run, has had a problem with home runs, 5 home runs in 33 innings pitched, and he is prone to blowups, but it seems like he's turned the corner this year so far. That whip is down. He's not allowing as many hits. The walks are down. The strikeouts are up. I mean, that's a recipe for success. He's another guy I don't recommend. I don't really recommend moving him. I mean, I don't think it would be very beneficial to do so. So, that's kind of where I'm at with him. And I expect Salazar's success to continue. I don't see any reason why it won't. Yasmani Grandal had an insane game the other day. He went deep twice, I believe. I believe that was last Thursday. He went deep twice, drove in 8 runs, walked twice, was 4-for-4 in that game. Just crazy. Video game numbers, literally video game numbers. And, it's what we've kind of always thought from Grandal, at least I did. He's out of San Diego. Not that that was like a cancer or anything for him, because, you know, it was just, I don't know. Things weren't working out for him too well there with the drug suspension and whatnot, and with the injuries. But listen, this guy has always been a minor league, a highly touted prospect in the minor leagues. He always put up really solid numbers in the minor leagues, always walked a lot. Just pull some numbers up from his minor league career. Prior to 2012, he was a top 50 prospect in baseball. But just looking at his minor league numbers, he had, in 2012, between AAA and Single-A, 38 walks, 38 strikeouts. I mean, we see a guy that's patient at the plate, and now he's finally just put everything together. He's 26 years old. Think that he's this year's Devin Mesoraco, maybe with less power. He may not hit as many home runs as Mesoraco did last year, but to think, you know, he could probably hit, 18 to 21 home runs in the Dodgers lineup while getting on base at a, you know, by the time all the dust settles, at a 370 clip. I don't think there's any reason to think that he can't do that. So, I'm a fan of Grandal. If you drafted him, I'm sure you drafted him late. So he's paying dividends big time. He might be your second catcher in a 2 catcher league. How could you get anything better than that? he's the kind of value pick that you look for in fantasy drafts, because he has, you know, or in the spring, because he has that upside that we know about and that we've seen. So Grandal, you know, he's a guy that you're going to probably want to hold on to too. I mean, unless you're being offered proven veteran players for these guys, I don't think anybody's going to be looking to give you fair value, because everybody's going to scream sell high, sell high, sell high. And, you know, sometimes that isn't always the answer. Sell high doesn't always work. So it's, you know, all four of these guys that I mentioned, Harper, obviously, Pineda, Salazar, and Grandal are four guys that I don't recommend doing that, selling high. I think you need to hold on to them unless you're getting a proven veteran player in return. Otherwise, roll with them. All right, Wayne Bretzky's going to be on the line in just a second. He just messaged me. So be sure, excuse me, still got a cough. Be sure to check out fantasysquads.com. We have daily DFS advice for you there. We also have season-long advice, Andrew Barney's waiver wire column on Fridays, and also the Fantasy Ram. He has his Brendan O'Brien Coxon. He has his streamer special that comes out on Monday, and then periodically we have some other articles that come out through the week. So be sure to check out fantasysquads.com. All right. Let's see here. Moving along, let's hit a Twitter question here. How about that? First Twitter question comes from Frank Free A-Rod. Free A-Rod at Yankees Isles 91. He asked, should I drop D. Gordon for Carlos Gomez? Should I trade D. Gordon for Carlos Gomez? Sure. I mean, that's a fair deal. You know, you're going to be giving up probably 25 steals, but you're going to be gaining back probably 20 home runs. So, position aside, who really cares about that? Whenever you're looking at a deal like this, yes. If you want to make that deal, if you need some help in the outfield, need a little bit of pop, Gordon for Gomez is a fair deal, and that works. All right, Wayne Bretzky. You there, bud?
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Nah, not too much, man. What's going on?
Not much at all. How are you doing?
Other than this cough that I just can't kick, I'm doing great. But, you know, I'll get through it. I did a radio last night, and I hacked the entire time, and, you know, but I can't give it a rest, you know, so whatever. We'll just keep going. Going forward,
you see the little dump button, and you'll be all right.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I before you got online, I went through four players here. Just want to get your thoughts on all four of them. I kind of titled it "Recent Big Performances." I'm gonna let you plug here in a second, but let's hit these quickly so I can end this segment. I got four names here: Bryce Harper, Michael Pineda, Danny Salazar, and Yasmani Grandal. All had big performances over the last week. Obviously, we know Harper with his 3-home-run, 5-RBI day, 2-home-run, 5-RBI day. Big numbers out of him. What are your thoughts on Bryce Harper? Is this the year he stays healthy and puts up continues to put up these MVP-like numbers?
I think there's little reason to doubt it. You look at that walk rate, it's finally creeping up. We know he's got the power. We know he's got enough speed to contribute double-digit steals, maybe even more if he wants to. And quite frankly, if you're ranking right now, you got to look at the guys who are healthy, producing. Anybody in the league is a health risk, right? And yeah, this guy plays like he's going to run through a wall, and he's tried to do that before. But anybody is a health risk in this league. And you look at the guys who are hot and hitting right now, if I'm doing rankings today, which I actually am working on some rankings, mid-May rankings, and Bryce Harper is a top five guy, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't deny that. I mean, I don't think there's any way to say that he isn't at this point. He's just the way he's been playing. All right, how about Michael Pineda? We saw a 16-strikeout performance on Sunday. What do you think about Pineda going forward?
It's a similar thing. I mean, you look at both of these players, young talents, tons of upside, tons of skill there, and it's been that injury thing. Can they put it all together? Well, Pineda's put it all together in the past. It's staying on the field for 200 innings. With the amount of pitchers who have gone down already this year, how can you trust anybody to stay healthy for the rest of the season? So I'm just going to look at the guys who are pitching well, and I love strikeouts and guys who can strike out a lot of guys and not walk anyone, and Pineda's doing that right now. So, yeah, he's a top 20 starter for me.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, holy cow. I talked about all these guys, so I just wanted your quick thoughts. I don't really need to say anything. Danny Salazar, he's looking good, too. You know, looks like he's kind of taking the next step forward this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. You're always worried about the control and kind of those blow-up outings that Salazar can have. And actually, Mark Kaplan, who I know has been on your show before as well, we were doing our Box Score Baseball podcast last night, and we talked about Salazar a little bit. And basically what we broke it down to is if our playing in a rotisserie format, this is a perfect sell high type of guy, because those blow up outings are going to hurt his whip, going to hurt his ERA. But if you're in a head to head league, either points or categories, this guy could be the number one pitcher in any given week. If he has two starts, he can give you 20, 25 strikeouts in those two starts. So certainly a guy who I like to have the flexibility that if he gets blown up, I can just forget about it and move on to next week. So a little gun shy in roto leagues just because of the history, but in a head to head league, I'm all aboard Salazar.
Okay, Yasmani Grandal. He this year's Devin Mesoraco.
You know, I don't know if I'd go quite that far. We saw a bit of a power outburst from him in San Diego a couple years ago. But I love the walk rate, and I love the lineup he's in. I'm a little concerned that he doesn't play every single day. Maybe with his recent hot hitting, he'll work his way into that role. However, I like him. I have him on a bunch of teams, and I'm happy to hold him on those teams. You just look at the walk rate. He's not going to hurt you, and that's the important thing of your catcher.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was checking out some scores. I'm watching this Pirate game in the background here. Pirates and Phillies. This is Kerr versus Pirates.
I was listening to the game the whole way. I was rushing to get back to chat with you, and you know,
my
team versus your team right now. So I guess this is an appropriate time to get me on the show. However, I don't think it's an appropriate year for me to root for the Phillies. Is the problem?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of rough being a Phillies fan right now. I don't, you know, I I'm a Pirates fan, so the last couple of years have been great, obviously, making the playoffs in back-to-back years, but it was long suffering as a Pittsburgh fan seeing.
I hear it. I mean, I was right there with you.
Yeah, and I mean, you, like, you look at the Phillies, and outside of Hamels and I mean, I guess Papelbon, I guess, but he's just a reliever. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, you know, you could find relievers anywhere, really. But outside of Hamels, I mean, the team is just, it's just a bunch of scrubs. I mean, Hamels, Utley, Howard, and a bunch of AAA, AA scrubs, it seems. They have a long ways to go before they get back to relevance, I think. But, I mean, they should be able to land. Go ahead.
To follow that up, I was just listening to the radio, listening to the game. I love the radio broadcast we have in Philadelphia, so I actually enjoy doing that, whether I'm driving home or whatever. But basically, their point as I was coming in a nothing-nothing game, you know, before the Pirates just put up some runs, where your ace is dealing, all they're talking about is how Darren Ruff is playing in left field and Cody Ashby is going to come up. And they basically have no idea what these players have, and now is the time for the rest of the year. They're going to see what these, as you termed, a bunch of scrubs and AAA minor leaguers, see what they've got over them. And it's May 13th, and we're already trying to see what we've got in a bunch of guys who have been bouncing around our system for years. It's Ruben Amaro has got to go. Got to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that they haven't canned him, but I don't know, maybe there's some type of loyalty there. But usually those things work themselves out after a while. You know, you can only lose so many years in a row before they put the kibosh on bad performance, bad management and whatnot. So
I am baffled that it hasn't happened already. Just
yeah,
baffled.
I know. Hamels is in some trouble here. Hamels is in some trouble. But that's good. The Pirates need to win these games against these kind of teams because they're in a tough division with the Cardinals and the Reds and the Cubs. So, got to win these games. Got to pick them up. All right, let's get back to the fantasy talk. Actually, first, why don't you plug anything you got going on here? You know, you mentioned your podcast, website, Twitter handle. Floor is yours,
buddy. Of course. You can... You can follow me on Twitter at BretskyBall. We do a podcast at BretskyBall.com, and it's called the Box Score Baseball Podcast. You can find that on iTunes. Also, we'll be tweeting out the links. BretskyBall.com is the place to go. I mean, we have a trade analyzer. You send it in. We try and get you on the podcast and talk about that a little bit. Also, give you an email reply when you can. And, you know, I'm trying to get more time to write. It's been a little tricky these last couple of weeks. And haven't been writing nearly as much as I want to. But, you know, BretskyBall.com is the place to find out everything that I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, writing is tough. It's easier for me to get on and after my kids are in bed and everything settles down and just talk about baseball as opposed to trying to focus on writing. I like to write, but it is tough sometimes to do it. So, yeah, enough complaining, though. What's the difference? All right, struggling bats. Already with a home run tonight, Shin Soo Chu seems to be heating up as of late. He's done well the past couple of games, and like I said, he had a leadoff home run tonight for the he led off for the Rangers. I shouldn't say he didn't lead off the game, but past his three multi hit games in a row, and then as I said, two straight games with a home run. What do you think about Chu? We always know he's always had a high walk rate, but that average it seems like since the beginning of May he was hitting 141 on May 3rd, and he's up to 214 on May 12th. Actually, I guess he's a little bit higher than that after the home run tonight. Let me give you a 221. He's up to 221 batting average. What do you think about Chu? Before last season, he was always a solid, 2020 guy with a high on base percentage. Do you think he's going to take a step forward here? He's shaking off the rust, maybe, or do you see Chu more as the player we saw last season?
Yeah, it's a tough mixed bag here because you say struggling, and I'm a bit surprised, and I guess maybe the perception is going to be that Chu's been struggling, but last 10 games, he's turned it on. He's got hits, 10 straight games with hits. He's got multi-hit efforts in his last three. You mentioned the home run tonight. He's batting .333 in his last 10 games heading into this evening, but the on-base percentage is a thing that I don't know if we're ever going to see that come back. His last season in Cincinnati, he really started to struggle against left-handed pitching, and the walk rate has just not been where it was in the past. He struck out 35 times this year, walked just 11 times in 28 games. So is he going to hit 280 again? I don't know. I think he might be looking at more of a 240, 250 batting average. But that said, he's going to do some damage against righties. Maybe he can give you 15 home runs and, 10 steals, I think you're looking at. So a useful piece in a deeper league, but certainly not the stud that he was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I think that he can get back to that level he was at. He's in a good home ballpark, but it's just a matter of whether, he can stay healthy. A lot of things are tied, we talked about that. A lot of things are tied to health, and you really can't predict health, but I think, I think that the walk rate can be there for him this year, and,
But it's been going down. It's been going down.
He was
16% in 2013, 11% last year. He's right around that 10% level. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he's going to be that OBP monster that he was in Cincinnati that one year. But I don't know. I guess now that I look at it, I mean, around 10% for his career, and he's kind of close to that right now.
Yeah, he is. I mean, according to Fangraphs, he's at 12%. He owns a 12% walk rate in his career. He's at 9.2 now. But, he did start the season off somewhat slow. So I'll give him that to a point. The strikeouts are up, though. He's striking out 29.4%, which is much higher. Almost, he's about 8 points higher than his career of 21.6. So there are things to pull out of there. But he is playing in Texas. There's a lot of different factors here. I think if he could stay healthy, bring that walk rate up, bring those strikeouts down, because we've seen him do it in the past, I think he can be a solid, number three outfielder. I wouldn't go any higher than that, but I think he'd settle in as a number four, but hope for the best is a number three or something to that effect. Now,
do you think he can steal bases anymore? Three steals last year in 123 games.
I think
zero stolen bases so far this year. Is he going to steal bases?
Probably not. I think maybe 10 would be the absolute highest he could go. But, you know, maybe 20, 10. Ah, yeah, you're starting to convince me. I want to like Chu because I love those guys that get on base. But, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe he's just kind of a bit overrated. Maybe he's peaked. I mean,
I like him now as a matchup guy. I mean, you can't start him against left-handed pitching anymore. You used to be able to think he could draw a walk and then maybe steal a base or two in that given game, but he's just not going to do it for you.
Yeah, I agree with that. You can't start him against lefties. I definitely agree with that. No doubt about it. So, you know, he's got some upside because we've seen what he could do in the past. He's not all that old. I think he's only like 31 years old. So, I mean, it's not like he's aging rapidly. He's 32 years old. Almost 33 years old. Wow, okay. 32 years, 10 months. All right, Ian Desmond. Let's move on here. Ian Desmond's struggling this year. 2 home runs so far this season, 7 RBIs. Now, Washington as a whole has been struggling, had been struggling. They're starting to pick it up now. But Desmond is still struggling. He never was much of a guy for walks. He never walked much, and his strikeout rate's about what it was last year. Actually, it's a little bit lower, 25% this year. He struck out 28.2% last year, but last year he had 24 home runs and 24 steals. The 2 seasons prior to that, he hit over 20 home runs and it stole over 20 bags. What is going on with Ian Desmond with just 2 home runs and 0 stolen bases? It seems like there's a little bit of trouble here, and I'm not certain that he's going to bounce out of this.
Yeah, I'm not really worried on Desmond. He, to me, it sounds like a great buy-low opportunity because this guy is one of the very few players in the league that we can legitimately count on for 20 home runs and 20 steals. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of players that I can actually project into those numbers. I mean, there's a couple guys who think can have a chance to do it, but, I mean, we got to project it. And so this is just a poor month or two. Do you want to know that Ian Desmond last April hit 231, and in May he hit 229? I mean, this guy is streaky. Sure, there was a little more power and speed, but last April, 4 home runs, 1 steal, and a 231 average. And you told us the final numbers. I mean, they were there. So I'm not worried at all about Ian Desmond.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I want to be in the same boat. But his numbers, I don't know, they're just a bit concerning to me. Because he's never been a guy to walk very much. So he's never been patient at the plate. We know that. And he's always been able to get by with that in the past. But it just seems like such a slow start for Ian Desmond. it's such a slow start for him. He's batting just 185 against lefties, which, you know, I feel like he's a career 272 hitter against left-handed pitching. I mean, usually those splits stand out, and he's not hitting lefties well this year, which is a bit concerning for me. So, Victor Martinez, the next guy I want to talk about with these struggling bats. I got another national to talk about here in a second, but we'll go to the Tigers here and talk about Victor Martinez. I was all over Victor Martinez headed into this year because I guess I wanted to go against the grain. Everybody was kind of like, well, Victor Martinez, he had a knee issue, had his meniscus repaired, and then he ended up being ready for the start of the season, which was great. And he's, you know, kind of started out slow. To pull up his splits real quick, he's pounding left-handed pitching, 462 average, 516 on base, 1.170 OPS. Against righties, though, it's a different story. He's batting 158. He does have 11 walks to 9 strikeouts against righties. Victor Martinez, so far I've been wrong about him this year. Do you think he's going to bounce back as the weather gets warmer?
It's really difficult. I got to think that the injury is affecting him a little bit. I don't know anyone who was expecting another 30 home run outburst from Victor Martinez this season. And, you know, maybe that's where you could capitalize. Can he hit 300 this year? I do think he still has that skill. But when I look at this, it's just another larger picture. You know, on draft day, you can decide to take a couple of risks on the guys who are coming into the season injured. Quite frankly, this year, it has not worked out. Victor Martinez is probably your best story. If you took a flyer on any of those injured arms, be it Homer Bailey, Masahiro Tanaka, Alex Cobb, any of these guys, you've got nothing if not negative value. Tanaka gave it a couple of starts so far and maybe has hope, but taking the flyer and the discount on the injury guys so far this season has just been a miserable failure. And Victor Martinez is the one that maybe has a chance, because he's still on the field, of recouping some of that value, but I don't see the power coming back.
I agree with the power part. But I also think that he's going to bounce back big time. This is a guy that's been a big-time average hitter. He's been one of the best pure hitters in the major leagues for several seasons. And he wasn't always a power guy to start with. He wasn't a big-time power guy before last season, and he ended up having the best power year of his career. Well, that's an outlier, and nobody really thought he was going to come in and hit 32 home runs again this year. But he should be able to hit for a high average, a 300 average.
And you look at a 331 on base with a 235 average so far this year. I mean, 100-point gap between your on base and your average. Like, you're doing something right if you at least control the strike zone like that. So at least the skill is still there. Can he stay healthy to drive the ball enough?
And I think as the season progresses, unless we find out that he has some kind of injury issue, maybe, you know, with his knee, I think that we're going to find out, that he's going to be all right. I really do. I think once the weather gets a little warmer, which I think that does matter, the ball starts, you can drive the ball better and the ball starts carrying a little bit more. Point out some other things about Victor Martinez. You know, his walk rate is up from last year.
Can I first point out some other things about the Phillies Pirates matchup that's going on right now? Because if you look at the scoreboard right now, it looks like we're all tied up there, Dave. We're all tied up.
It does. Yeah, it looks like it's 2-2. Lirion, Corey Hart. I don't know why they're playing Corey Hart in right field. What are they doing?
I couldn't believe that.
I guess, I don't know. When I saw he was playing right field tonight, I like Corey Hart as a pinch hitter and occasional fill-in at first base, but my God, why do they have him and his crooked knees in the outfield? Ugh, awful. All right. And the Pirates are losing now. Damn it. 3-2 they're losing. All right. Let's look at Victor Martinez here. The walk rate's up from last year, and this is only in 121 plate appearances. So, I mean, this isn't over a full season or anything. Strikeouts are up a little bit, from 6.6 last year to 8.3 this year. But his BABIP is way down. This is a guy with a career 314 BABIP, sitting at 245 this year, batting average on balls in play. He's getting a bit unlucky. We can say that for sure, without question. And that luck should come. I mean, there's no reason to think that he won't start seeing the ball better and getting a little bit luckier on some of these balls that are in play to raise that BABIP. His contact rate's down about 10% from last season. So I don't know. He's a guy that I just think is going to rebound a little bit here, and the power is not going to be there because it never really was before last year. But everything else, I think, will be A-OK. Jason Wirth, the last guy I want to talk about, struggling bats. Give me your overall thoughts on Wirth. He's an older guy too, but he's always been able to hammer left-handed pitching, and he's always had a knack for getting on base. So there's definitely value there. He's hitting in the heart of the Nationals order, that lineup. He's hitting right ahead of Bryce Harper. Should have plenty of opportunities to do some damage here. What are your thoughts on Jason Worth as we get deeper into the season?
So I'm a huge Jason Worth fan, and frankly, I have been quite scared of what I've seen from him so far this year. It feels like they rushed him back a little bit from the injury with his shoulder, but all of a sudden, he's hitting a bit again. He hit a home run tonight. He hit a home run a couple of days ago. I think this is a second half type of play. I have him in a couple teams, and if it's a roto league, he's on my bench right now until he proves to me that he's healthy and can swing the bat. But certainly a player capable of producing MVP caliber numbers. So if he's sitting on your waiver wire because he was hurt and now struggling, he's certainly a guy you need to put on your bench right now. Wait till he starts hitting, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of value with Jason Worth, and he would be a buy low candidate if you're in that kind of thing. Speaking of buys, let's hit a Twitter question. This comes from Gunnar Kynes at Gunnar Kynes on Twitter. He asks, who are some players to trade for now while their values are down? Buy low. What do you think, Gretzky? Who are some buy low candidates for you?
The headlining name from our podcast that we did just last night, and it went out this morning, Corey Kluber. I mean, this guy has gotten about, you know, as unlucky as it comes over the first month of this season. Strikeout rate is exactly where it's been. And, oh, my, let me look at the scoreboard right now. And Corey Kluber put up 18 strikeouts today. 18. And he was already pitching phenomenally and just not getting the results. The BABIP was close to 400 heading into today.
Yeah, he could come out and pitch the ninth inning. He could go for 20 Ks. He could come back out.
Yeah,
I'm
telling you, we recorded this last night, and the title of the podcast was Corey Kluber. So that was telling you to go out and get him, and now it's too late already. It was good for about 6 hours when we put it out there, and it's too late. This guy's got through 8 innings right now. He's allowed one hit and struck out 18. Oh, my. So I guess he doesn't qualify anymore. I'm sorry. I didn't even look at the scoreboard before I started in on my Kluber love.
Yeah, Corey Kluber. I didn't have a podcast last week because I was out of town. But I was talking to somebody, I think, on Twitter, and we were talking about Kluber, and I recommended him. Cody Allen's warming up. Well, he's going to be ready to blow this one for Cleveland. What's nice about living in Western PA is that I get both the Indians games and the Pirate games with my DirecTV package, and then have MLB TV on top of it. So it's kind of nice being able to watch the games in the Samsung Smart TV. But anyway, so yeah, Kluber. Everything about Kluber, I forget who I was talking to. But I wish I did. I wish I remembered. Everything about Kluber screamed bye 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 bye, and he was exactly. He did this exact same thing last year. In fact, someone dropped him. I believe it was in a fantasy alarm league I was in, or something like that. Someone dropped him in late April, and I picked him up, obviously, and we know what he did last year, went on to win the AL Cy Young. So I don't think anybody dropped him this season, but buy low, this is a guy that prior to this start, hopefully you bought low on, because he goes out and strikes out 18 batters. This is after Michael Pineda struck out 16 on Sunday. No one will be talking about Pineda. Poor Michael Pineda.
Yeah. Let me throw another buy low out there real quick, because I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and I think it's the guy who might step in for Kluber and lock down this save. How do you feel about Cody Allen as a nice little buy low candidate? You look at his numbers, and they are god-awful, but to be honest, when you look through his game log, he had two brutal outings in April, and he's been pretty solid since about April 20th. He let in 4 runs, and since then, he's been okay, striking out guys, not walking too many batters. I think this is a guy who's going to straighten himself out and has just had a couple of really, really bad nights that have ruined his numbers so far.
I don't know. You are correct about a couple of bad games. Strikeouts look good. I mean, 17 Ks in 11 innings. He's also having trouble with the walks. Now, his last, his last six appearances, he's given up an earned run in half of the appearances. That dates back to late April. I don't know. I own some Cody Allen stock in a couple of different places, so I want him to succeed. But I don't really see any reason to think. You know, he hasn't had really a long stretch, Bretzky, where he's had 7-8 scoreless innings in a row. It seems like he has a good game, and then he gives up, a home run, or he gives up a couple of hits. And what's more troubling is the walks. He's got to cut down on the walks if he wants to succeed. I think the Indians are going to stick with him, but one or two more blown games, and they're going to be looking for a new closer. But
you see, you look at his numbers and you think he's been terrible, and he's only blown one save. If you're gonna get married to the stat of the save, he's only blown one of those opportunities. So he's had a couple of nightmare outings. I'm looking at April 20th against the White Sox, 4 earned runs on 6 hits, and just getting one out. I mean, that's gonna ruin your numbers for pretty much the entire season. But from today forward, this is a guy who's got job security. Assuming he goes out there and pitches well this evening, if he can string together a couple nice outings, love the strikeout rate there. He struck out 17 in just 11 innings so far this year. This could be a guy who ends up putting up 40 saves, gets that ERA down below 3, and strikes out a ton of batters. And we're looking at his top 5 closer the rest of the year. And right now, I think there's people probably ready to cut him because of the ERA and the whip.
If he hasn't been cut already. Do you think he's going to be a top 5 closer the rest of the way?
He's got that potential. I mean, we saw what he could do last year, and the strikeouts have been there. The numbers in a non-closer role have been there the last several years. I mean, we're looking at a couple of solid seasons in a row for Cody Allen. This is a guy that I think you can buy low on. I mean, 11 innings is no sample to look at any ratio stats, and that's the tough part. So yes, he's walked 9 batters in those 11 innings, but it's really those 2 really bad outings where he's given up 4 earned runs in each. And I'm not scared. I think if you can go out and get him for pennies on the dollar, you go ahead and do it. This is what I'm talking about. Buy low. You're taking a guy whose numbers just look awful, and I think he could have a ton of value.
All right. We'll still probably be either on the air or – just getting finished whenever we see what Cody Allen does. So we'll see if the Cardinals
can. He's going to go out and blow this Kluber game, isn't he? And Kluber's not going to get the win.
We don't want to say that. No. I'm about tired of coughing. All right, let's go. Let's see. Let's do some quick discussion on some sell-high pitchers before we get out of here. I would say that all these guys are – somewhat, maybe one of them isn't a sell high, but I think these are 4 clear cut sell high, 3 clear cut, and 1 possibility. The 1 possible sell high is AJ Burnett. I kind of think that Burnett succeeds in Pittsburgh, and I think he has a better chance of succeeding in Pittsburgh than anywhere, and he's proven it so far this year. So I don't know that we'd really call him a sell high candidate, but I think there's a lot safer options out there than Burnett. He's prone to walks, he's prone to blowups, and while he has shown a history of pitching well in Pittsburgh for the Pirates, for 2 seasons before he stopped in Philly last year, and then now he's back with Pittsburgh and pitching well. He's still a guy that you may want to look to move if you can get something out of him. What do you think about AJ Burnett for the rest of the season?
I like him. I mean, I don't think the problem with this list is that how much value are you going to get? I think this is more about regression candidates and just being careful with how much you trust these guys. I really don't think any of them are going to have all that much trade value. And Burnett's a guy I would be hanging on to. And if someone is willing to, give him to me for nothing, I think he can continue to a certain extent to do this. You said, something about Pittsburgh, the coaching staff, the environment. Last year, I watched him pitch a lot, and he just wasn't healthy, lost his control far too often, which is something you get with AJ Burnett. But right now, strikeouts look good. He's not walking too many batters. And when his stuff is on at 38 years old, he's still a pretty effective pitcher.
Well, I put myself on mute because I was coughing, and I just I just lost Bretzky. Hold on 1 second. All right. boy. Okay. I screwed that one up. Sorry about that. Sorry, listeners, for that. Anyway, see what being sick does. Let me see if Brett will get back on the line here. So we were talking about AJ Burnett. I like Burnett, big fan of him. And, you know, I think that he definitely has value pitching for the Pirates, more so than anywhere else. He's had success there. And, you know, that's really all I have to say about that. Now, the other three guys that we had to talk about are Ubaldo Jimenez, Colby Lewis, C.J. Wilson. Now, if you're a veteran of fantasy baseball and you're playing in a mixed league, you know why these three players are three players that you probably don't want to be playing with fire too much, because you know they have there's a reason why there's a thing called selling high, and both of these players, all three of these players, are candidates to sell high because their track records are telling us that they're not going to be able to continue with what they've been doing this season. So, Burnett is a guy that you may want to hold on to. May even look to buy him if somebody's trying to sell him. But Colby Lewis, Ubaldo Jimenez, C.J. Wilson. C.J. Wilson may be the most attractive option, but he's proven, you know, in recent years that he's just not that great of a starting pitcher. I mean, he has his moments, but you know, his K per nine this year is just 6.1. If he's not going to be able to strike guys out, he's not going to have a ton of value. So C.J. Wilson's a guy I would be definitely looking to move, especially because he has seen some success in the past. So hold on, let's get Bretzky back on. Hey, Bretzky, sorry about that. Whenever you were done talking, I was on mute because I was coughing, and I didn't see that I pushed the mute button, so I'm talking. I hear a beep and see that your call dropped off because you were probably sick of dead air.
I thought you were gone, so I wasn't.
That was my fault. I had myself on mute. We got a couple minutes left, though. The last three guys I want to talk about, I was kind of saying, you know, with Colby Lewis, Ubaldo Jimenez, and C.J. Wilson, if you're a veteran player of fantasy baseball, you know why these guys aren't going to be able to maintain the type of production that they've given so far. But if you know you're a newbie of fantasy baseball, this might be your first year. Maybe you started last year or something, and you don't really look deep into the numbers. You're kind of just looking at what you see on the surface. You know, you may say, oh, you know, I got Colby Lewis, Ubaldo Jimenez. These guys are pitching quite well. Maybe want to ride this out. What are the reasons why we should be selling Lewis, Jimenez, and C.J. Wilson?
Because they're all old and terrible, and they walk too many batters. Certainly Jimenez and Wilson walk way too many batters. I don't care what they do ever. I've seen them walk the park, get blown up, so stay away. Colby Lewis, I think, you know, when he's healthy, he's kind of effective in a Danny Heron sort of way. But those other two would definitely stand as far away from as I possibly can.
I just keep waiting on the Ubaldo Jimenez blow up, and it really hasn't happened yet this year. It's gonna, though. One of those games where he gives up like 10 earned runs and just has one of those horrible outings.
I got a sell high pitcher that I want to throw out there that we talked about a little bit last night. I want to get your thoughts on who I think you could actually get value for. And the name I threw out is Chris Archer. And you look at the numbers overall year, and they're fantastic. 2.59 ERA, 1.03 WHIP. Lots of people peg this guy as a breakout candidate, and he's doing it. Striking out batters, all that. But my problem is that his problem has been walks in the past. Mm-hmm. And I look at two of his last three outings, and he's got four walks in the games that he got blown up. So I'm just not sure he can be that consistent option. What do you think, Dave?
I think he can be, because we saw it in April that he can be. It's just a matter of harnessing his pitches, and it's a matter of maturing. Once he matures, because he's only 26 years old, I mean, that's not too terribly old. He's been in the league. He's been in the majors since 2012. Now, he did spend some time in 2013 and 2012, obviously, in the minors. But he's been basically a full-time starter since about a third of the way through the 2013 season with Tampa Bay. The walks are down overall this year. But as you mentioned, he did his bad games this year were whenever his control was off. He is striking out.
You trust in Archer more or a guy we talked about earlier, Pineda? Which of these guys are, if you had the chance of getting either one right now, who do you trust as an ace the rest of the season?
Boy, that's tough. I'm going to have to say Pineda, but that's not taking anything away from Chris Archer. If that makes sense. I love both players, actually. I think they could both emerge as the next as a couple of aces in the next year or two. I really believe that. I mean, Archer has 58 strikeouts this season. That's, well, I don't know if, I don't think it's tops in the American League now after Corey Kluber's outing tonight, but he's up there with top five. Cody Allen, 1-2-3, ninth inning. All right, Gretzky says buy low on Cody Allen. He's already
before he strikes out 18 in his next 18 innings.
Yeah, he had one strikeout, so he's well on his way. 1-2-3, Corey Kluber, 18 strikeouts tonight. Best pitching performance of the year. Crazy. It's and he took a no hitter, and I think into the seventh inning. So nobody really cares about that. I'd rather see a 18-20 strikeout game than a no hitter. You know, with like six strikeouts. Who cares about that? I'd rather see all those strikeouts.
I love the no hitters when there's like seven or eight walks in there too. Those are always
fun,
though.
I know. That's. I mean, it's a no hitter, of course, but it's not a. It's not, you know, with all his walks, I don't know. All right, Pineda, that's my guy. I prefer Pineda of the two. Here's why, Bretzky. I believe in Chris Archer. Chris Archer can be a strong number two with borderline ace potential all season long. Maybe he'll reach that. But here's the thing about Pineda. He has 54 strikeouts and three walks. Three walks.
I love it. I mean, and you've seen two games in his last three starts where Archer's walked more than that in a single game. You can't – you look at pitchers, and I drool over those guys with the – you know, if you have a four strikeout-to-walk ratio, it's pretty good. But you get pitchers who get up to seven, eight, nine strikeouts per every walk, and those are the elite guys that you need to target because their numbers are going to be – so stable for you. Archer is going to blow up at some point, and I think that whip is going to be on the rise. Last year, even with that 3.3 ERA, a 1-2-8 whip, that's not very good by today's standards.
How about Pineda? An 18 strikeout to walk ratio.
Yeah.
18
fantastic
strikeout to walk. Yeah, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
It's the number one stat that I look at when I'm evaluating pitchers, and Archer is just a guy I cannot trust to limit those walks at this point in his career. He can improve it, and he can take that step forward, but I'm just saying right now he's got top 20 starting pitcher value, and I have questions whether he's going to get there, so if I can trade him for a guy like Cole Hamels, Francisco Liriano, let's ignore the whole walk fact of that, or Michael Pineda, I mean – I'll take all of those guys over Chris Archer.
Yeah. I like Archer more than you do, but I like Pineda more. I like Pineda over Archer. Pineda, man, he's awesome. He's great. His numbers are just nasty. He's fine. He could start, I don't know, he could start the All-Star game with these kind of numbers. He really could.
Keep this up.
Yeah, I mean, he's 5-0. 54-3 strikeout to walk ratio. That's crazy. I mean, it's just, those are just, that's like Cliff Lee like numbers. Cliff Lee would have like 220 strikeouts and have like 15 walks.
Like 25 walks, yeah.
I'm going to bring up his numbers right now. Cliff Lee, gone but not forgotten. Let's see here. In 2000, how about 2012 with the Phillies? 207 strikeouts, 28 walks. Led the league in strikeout to walk ratio that year, 7.39. Oh, Pineda's going to have to start walking batters, or he's going to set a record, I think. I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right, Bretzky, let's get out of here. It's an hour mark. Let me see if I have another Twitter question. I think I do, actually. Let me see here.
We did this get one from the juice.
Yeah, the juice. The juice. Yep. Is Elion Herrera a thing I should be concerned with? Elion Herrera from the Milwaukee Brewers, especially with Aramis Ramirez's impending trade or death. Well, that's not very nice. I don't know. I don't really.
Is Aramis more likely to be traded or to die this season?
I would say he's more likely to be traded. That's not nice. All right. Who knows, though? You never know. Hey, he keeps plugging away, but I think he has a good chance to be traded. Did he say he's going to retire after this year?
I believe he has hinted at that, and the injuries caught up with him.
Yeah, that makes sense. Elion Herrera. Okay, let's just go over him. He's 30. He's 30 years old. Career .256 hitter in the majors and career .288 hitter in the minors, but he spent 10 seasons in the minor leagues. No, even after three straight games with a home run, I don't think we need to be concerned with Elion Herrera. Now, he could prove us wrong, but sometimes these minor league journeymen have a little hot streak in them. But no, I don't think we need to be concerned with Elion Herrera, even with increased playing time. Now, next question, at Tony Ivy asks, and this is our last question before we get out of here. He said, David Ortiz was dropped in a 12-team roto league where he's first base and DH eligible. Is he worth a pickup? Yes. And how much of a $100 fab budget? How much of that $100 would you drop on David Ortiz?
Probably half of it, if not more. I mean, yeah. Ortiz has just been there every year. I know he's struggling a bit, but that Boston lineup is dynamic, and the first base eligibility right there, this guy is a top 10 first baseman, so a starter in a 12-team league, if you can just plug right in, you're paying probably 60-70% of that budget. This is the guy you jump on when you can.
Oh, yeah. At least 50%. I mean, I'm saying I'd probably go up to $70 on David Ortiz just because, I mean, you know, people might say, oh, he's, 39 or whatever. It doesn't really matter. He's a guy that can hit. We know he can hit. He's always hit. And he hit like 34, 35 home runs last year. Spend that money and roster David Ortiz. Whoever dropped him, that was a dumb move. Take advantage of it and get him on your team if you can. All right, thanks for all the Twitter questions. Bretzky, thanks for joining me tonight. It's been a while. Glad to have you back on the show, of course. And
yeah, man, anytime.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead and plug anything you got going on one more time, and we'll get out of here.
Just find me at Twitter, at BretzkyBall, and you can check out BretzkyBall.com to read what I write.
There you go, BretzkyBall.com. You still participating in the FanDuel tournaments on Friday night?
I am. I actually have two that I've run the free rolls on Friday with the Fantasy Pros crew, who does the rankings over there. And then the RotoWire writers. I do. I cover the Marlins for RotoWire, and they have a little contest going. So both of those games, I'm in for free every Friday evening on FanDuel. The problem is that during the week, I kind of prefer DraftKings format, so I feel like I'm wasting my experience during the week in terms of what I gear up towards. And I play in these bigger tournaments on Friday, and the FanDuel format is just a little bit different, a little bit trickier game, I guess, for me.
Yeah, I agree. I play DraftKings during the week, but I do enjoy the FanDuel tournaments. I don't know. I had one or two good weeks so far, but nothing to write home about yet. Hoping for the big hit one of these weeks. All right. We'll be back next week on the Ask Grotto Baseball Livecast. Check out fantasysquads.com. DFS premium passes are available. $2 for a day, $5 for a weekend, $10 for two weekends, and a couple of Tuesdays. And we'll get you hooked up, win you some cash on DraftKings, of course. And be sure to follow me on Twitter, at Ask Grotto Baseball. Thanks again to Wayne Bretzky for joining me tonight. Definitely appreciate that, Bretzky. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a good night. See you next week, guys.